Blog Talk Radio.
Unwrap. Hidden beach. What?
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome once again to another episode of the PRF Table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap, hosting also with Sister Dia Sanders and Brother Warren Feaster. We are just so delighted that you're taking your time out of your schedule to sit down and have a seat with us at the table. Hopefully this will be an enjoyable evening for you. We are looking forward to your input and your insight, as well as trying to just share a little bit of our experiences and what we believe God is leading us to in this discussion. In the previous weeks, what we've been talking about is student loan debt, which has come from us starting off previous weeks to that, talking about debt in general. So now what we're going to be talking about tonight is paying for graduate school. We thought some, because of so many of the conversations and so much of the amount of feedback that we receive from people that have called in to have a seat at the table or just having conversations on Facebook, that this is the direction that we needed to go. And this evening, Adia was led for our topic this evening. So we're going to let Adia have a lot of the conversation tonight and pretty much lead us. I know she doesn't know it right now, but since God laid it on her heart to have this conversation for paying for graduate school, we're just going to follow her lead. Last week we began this discussion, and it was good. I'm really pleased at how many people have been listening, and what it says to me as one of the hosts of this show is that there's a lot of people that are in the situation of student loan debt. There's a lot of people that are considering college, whether it's undergraduate or graduate school, have children that may be trying to go to school or themselves. So the whole premise of this show, tonight's show, is to open up this conversation a little bit further in regards to student loan debt. And what we're looking to do is try to be as proactive as we can be and as educational and as informative as we possibly can be to keep individuals from barreling down the spiral, so to speak, or the snowball down the hill mentality of having student loan debt, whatever shape it's for, whatever type of degree it's for. So with that, I'll go to my good brother, Brother Warren Feaster. How you doing this evening?
Man, I am super excited today, and I am ready to tackle this show.
Can you tell us what makes you super excited today, or do I need to put it out there?
Well, I guess since you're going to call me out, I guess I'll put it out. I found out yesterday that I will be getting promoted to the rank of Master Sergeant next Thursday. So that is my dream rank. So I'm extremely excited right now. Everyone's invited.
You know, God willing, we're going to be there. Matter of fact, we're going to have a PRF table somewhere around that area so we can all get there to be all in one spot for this magnificent event that's about to happen. So we want to just say, brother, that we are definitely proud of you. I knew you when you was a private. And for those of y'all who are not military or don't understand the military concept, a master sergeant is, you start off as an E1, the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. And so he's reached the rank of an E8. So the highest one on his side of the house is an E9. So that lets you know in perspective how hard, I know how hard he's worked, but how high he's obtained in the far as the military ranks. So it's not a place where everybody gets to. And, of course, with that is going to come some extra money, so I know Maria is happy about that as well. And also, Brother Feaster, I think we have your cousin that has just joined us. So how are you doing this evening?
I am doing well. Congratulations, cousin.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And since this is your second time at the PRF table, won't you just go ahead and just tell the listeners a little bit about who you are so those who were not with us last week or have not listened to the archives know that we definitely have a true professional as one of our guests with us tonight.
Okay, my name is Kiana Feaster. I have spent a large part of most of my professional career working in higher education. I've been an academic advisor for undecided, undeclared students, transfer students, returning students, and students who are trying to re-enroll after they left the university. And I've also co-chaired a conference that works with academic advisors and gives them the resources they need to be effective when they're working with students. And I worked at a public four-year institution for 9 years.
Well, Sister Feaster, we thank you so much, you know, for coming back and having a seat with us at the table. Somebody has told me, you know, as we've been having more and more guests on the show, we thank God for that. And somebody said, you know, your table is starting to get a little big. You're going to have to add one of those little leaflets inside of it. I said, you know what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
A great thing.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And Sister Sanders, my cousin, my first cousin, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing good.
Very good. We are glad that you are back with us. And let's just go ahead and jump right into it. You know, tell us how we came up or how you felt led to actually tackle this topic of paying for graduate school so the listeners understand where we at and a little bit about where we're going to go this evening.
The topic came about basically because I am currently a grad student attending Liberty University. I have been using my GI Bill, post 9/11 GI Bill, because I'm in the military. So you have so many months that you are given that you can use towards your education, but it does not have, quote unquote, an expiration date on it. So if I were to use it 5 years after I got, you know, 5 years from now, it's still good. But what happens is that once you use it up, then that's pretty much it. And so that's where I'm at right now. I think I have like maybe a month or 2 months left on my post 9/11 GI Bill. And so prior to getting to that point, I had started looking into different ways to pay for school. And I was actually nervous to even look at financing my own education because due to my lack of knowledge, I never considered or even thought that, hey, maybe I can pay for my own way of school. And so that was never a consideration for me because I pretty much had just said, I know I probably can't afford it because to pay for school is expensive or just the cost of schooling is expensive, I'll say that. So I began last year, and even going into this year, just looking up different scholarships I had signed up for, like, I think it's called College Prowler, Fast Web, different websites that have different avenues or ways that you can pay for school. What I found out in the roadblock that I fell into or continue to run into was that a lot of the information that was out there were for undergrad students. As I begin to ask in the past year around, you know, going to the education center on post, on the military installations, you know, just making phone calls or talking to people who had gone to grad school and just asking them how they paid for their schooling, just asking various questions, doing online searches and different things, the most thing that I kept coming up with was student loans. And because I already have a student loan and am paying on it, I just did not want to do that again. And I was just like, I just really believed in my heart that, Lord, there must be another way. I finally, this past February, went to talk to one of the financial advisors at my school and found out that to actually pay for school is actually more cost effective and that I can actually afford to pay for my own schooling. Right now I'm not taking classes due to some family issues that I'm currently, you know, just going through. But I am still on the quest to see if there are scholarships and different things like that so that can kind of offset with me paying out of pocket because I do have a family. So my interest for how to pay for grad school really just came out of my own desire to find out if there was a way. In a nutshell, and to kind of wrap it up, I found that there are various ways that you can pay for grad school. I've been looking, like I said, online. There are the websites. You have Fast Web, College Prowler, and a lot of different – those are the two websites that I have mainly seen that are available, and I have signed up for them, and I've, you know, I get the emails about, you know, different scholarships, but most of them I'm not eligible for. But in my search for finding out for a way to pay for grad school, I have come across different things that they have that, depending upon what school someone is interested in going into, that for me, I think one thing that I probably would have done different was let me find out what the school that I'm interested in offers, and if do they have scholarships for the major that I'm looking to take to get my degree in. So I found out that schools have different scholarships based on what you're going to major in. So that right there has just been helpful for me, and I've been able to share that information with other people. I say all of this to say that there's a lot to consider when you're looking to go to grad school. I mean, my situation and how I got into grad school was just totally divine, and my cousin can attest for that because he is the reason that I go to Liberty University. I didn't even know the school existed. I didn't even know, you know, anything about the whole entire process. So I did not do mine the traditional way, but I will share just some things that I have been researching and just kind of looking up on the internet as far as paying for grad school. That, you know, a lot of times people just look at the fact of, I want to go to grad school. And we are all blessed and fortunate and given the opportunity, regardless of what our status, our social status or financial status is that we can get our bachelor's degree. But what I found out in just talking to people that are not military is that now that is becoming, quote unquote, almost not to be enough. So you got to have, I guess, that more refined or more specific formal education in order, you know, for certain jobs and different things like that. So it was kind of looking at the grad school and different things like that. I've just found out that there are other ways to pay for school, whether it be a student loan, whether it be for you paying out of pocket, whether it be, you know, you get a grant or a scholarship. But though there are ways that you can pay for school. So I kind of just wanted to share and put that information out there and just get feedback from other people because at the PRF table, we talk about our possession, resources, and our finances. And because grad school is one that really hits at home when you're talking about finances, I just think that it's always important that that I can educate and just share what information that I've learned from my own search and my own quest to help me, but also realizing that the information that I gain can also be very helpful and beneficial to other people. So I'm going to read a couple of things and just kind of go from there. So if I sound robotic, I do apologize, but I am reading the information that I pulled up and just thought it was very helpful. There are, like I said earlier, there are grant scholarships and fellowships. And basically what those do, I mean, you're not required to pay anything, you know, it's free money pretty much. In Army, we call it free chicken. And based on, like I said, what your degree is and what you're going to, the specific program of study, sometimes wherever the school that you're looking at going into, you may have to travel. So I think that's one of the good things and something that people should consider is that if you're thinking about going to grad school or you have a child that's thinking about going to grad school, they may have to travel in order to get the free money that they're looking for that's going to help them pay for school or if not pay for all of their schooling where they won't have to come out of pocket. There are low-interest loans, and I was just sharing with somebody on yesterday that one of the things that you definitely want to do is you want to search around. I know a lot of times we may see a business or a company that is giving an interest rate, but there are, just like we search around for low interest rates for our mortgages and for houses and for other things, you can also do the same thing for your education because with the low interest rate loan, the loan being the key word, you're going to have to pay that money back. So if you can get one with a low interest rate, there are other things that you can ask, pertinent questions such as, can I get this interest rate locked in for the life of the loan that I'm going to be paying it back because we do know over time that interest rates increase just, you know, because of the cost of living and whatever other reasons that I do not know about, that they increase the interest rates on loans. The other thing is that there are military benefits, and like I said, I have been blessed to actually have benefited from that. Like I said, you have the unit that you may be in, or the unit that you're assigned to, or the division, or whatever you know what level that you're at. They do have organizations. I'll give you an example. 82nd Airborne Division has I'm trying to think of the right word. It's not a club, but it's an organization that you can sign up to be a membership for. Well, they have scholarships. They not only have scholarships that can benefit military, but also their family members. You have the Montgomery GI Bill, or the post 9/11, as well as tuition assistance, which will which does help you get your master's degree, and that's how I got my first one. So there are programs that are out there for the military. Some other information that I was able to find in reference to just your graduate school and different things like that and how to pay for it was just going around, and you may be able to get, if you're not military, you may be able to get your employer to fund your education. A lot of times the company that you work for, they do have programs because they want the top-notch people, and they want people that are educated. They will pay for your education. So that is also another very good option that is out there. I know for people that may have contracting jobs that work with the military or the government, federal government, I do know after having spoken to one lady, they paid for her to get her bachelor's degree for school, and they also had a program that helped you where they pay for your master's degree as well. So there are contracting companies that will invest in your education based on the field that you're working in. And the other option that I just wanted to go back to is going through your school that you're attending and looking at what their payment options are. I know I said, I think the last show, or maybe the one prior to that, when I just asked the question to see what option I have for school, it really worked out for me. And I think, like, my payments were going to be, like, $200-something a month. And so I thought that that was reasonable. That may not be reasonable for other people, but I really think that if you are serious about getting getting a graduate degree, that it's worth just asking those questions. And even though I have not given up hope, I believe that there is a scholarship out there somewhere for me to finish my degree to be a marriage and family counselor. I just think that it's important that to share information with people, to take the time and the initiative to look it up, because a lot of times, you know, we can fall into debt because we're looking to pay for our education and we want things so bad that we don't know, or we don't consider the fact that there may be other options. And so I just feel that it's always important to look up this information, to ask questions, and to always, one, just step out on faith, because if all else fails, I mean, you can never be wrong or go wrong just by asking questions. I just think that before somebody makes the decision to go to graduate school, you know, just look at, one, you know, count the cost. And when I say count the cost, I don't mean count what's in your bank or what's up under your mattress, but look at the time that you're going to have to spend. You know, have a plan. How long do you plan on being in school? Because that's something that you definitely have to consider. And if you're going to get a loan, I know we did say this on a couple of shows ago, make sure you're getting it for the amount that you need it for. Don't get it over that amount, because you're going to have to pay that money back. And I just think that, you know, even though we're in some hard times financially with our the way that the economy is, I believe that this is still the time for us not to slack on our education. Where some people may not be able to pay for it, this may be the very opportunity for you to be able to go back to school. Just another example is that I have a friend right now who lives out in Los Angeles, California, and she has been able, you know, to get an apartment and, and still be able to attend school and get everything that she needs. I think that it's important that we just look at every aspect and look at all of our avenues when we're looking at going to graduate school. I don't know if anybody maybe has a question that they'd like to ask, or if one of the hosts on the that's on the line right now, if they maybe just want to give some input. But I just think that it's so important that if we're making a decision to go and to increase our knowledge, not just for ourselves, but to be able to serve others, I think that one is always worth looking into what it's going to take to get that graduate degree. If it's something that you are going to invest your time in doing, not just at that time because it seems like it's the thing to do, almost like a fad, but, you know, just realizing that sometimes for some people, and I say this because this was one of my considerations, is that when I made the decision to get a second master's degree, it was not because I loved school. It was because I really felt that there was a calling on my life to serve others in the field, the career field of counseling. And so that pushed me to say, this is where you're at right now, Adia, and so you got to complete it. It's not, you know, we're going to be doing this for the next 10 years, you know, going through grad school, but it's to also say that there's a calling. And so I think that, you know, when one person is looking at going to grad school, some things to consider is this what I want to do for however many years, or is this just something that is a quick fix to put money in my pocket or to give me some status or whatever? I think, you know, other things is where's the school located? Is the school accredited? Do they have the program that I want, or am I just going to settle because the school is nearby or the school is the least expensive, but I'm going to have to major in a program that I'm not going to like? Other things to consider is there any travel involved? I know with Liberty University, I have four classes where I have to go to the campus, and there's no way of skating around it. So I know that at least once or twice a year, I have to get off from work 5 days so that I can go to Liberty University, and I have to pay for that out of pocket. Now, granted, I can, you know, get reimbursed for it when I do my taxes and everything, but at that point in time, these are things that one person may have to consider. You know, it's not, you know, do I have the money to pay for my books? I've had classes where I've had 8 books. You know, they were, you know, little small paperback books, but I had to pay for those books, you know, because my GI Bill doesn't cover that. So I just think that, you know, there's a lot of information that is out there, and I've given many different examples of where you can get this information from. Asking, you know, people that are currently in a graduate program about how they pay for it, how they like the school, if they have, you know, the degree that you're interested in, calling the school itself and talking to the financial advisors and the academic advisors, you know, to get a rundown, going to visit the school, you know, using your local library, your education center, if you are a part of the military, whether you're a spouse or an active duty National Guard or Reserve soldier. I just think that it's always worth gaining the knowledge so that you can share it with other people. And I don't know if I hit the target on tonight, but I really know that this was just a topic that was just near and dear to me. And I thought that it was just important to share this with people because sometimes when we're going through things, we don't take the opportunity to share with it, to share with others until we've gone through it. And now we have this golden testimony or praise report or good news story. But I'm still going through it. I have not found a scholarship yet, and I'm still looking. But I tell you this, I'm convinced that there's one out there, and I'm going to find it. And when I do, I'm going to share it with y'all. But I just really wanted to take this opportunity to kind of challenge myself and other people not to give up on whatever dream, goal, or aspiration that you have. If it's to get your bachelor's degree, if it's to get your associate's degree or certificate in training, or, you know, or to get your graduate's degree or your doctor's degree, there are ways to pay for it, and you don't have to always depend on going the route of a loan, because the fact is that you're going to have to pay it back. And if you can, you know, maybe sacrifice, you know, having cable or, I don't know, maybe not eating out as much so that you can take that money and apply it to paying, you know, monthly on your degree, you can actually pay for school out of pocket, and that really has me excited. And when I am able to go back to school, I do plan on taking that route. But in the meantime, I'm also still going to look for scholarships because I believe that there's one out there for me so that I don't have to get another loan, so that I can, you know, have a sense of, I guess, to me, pride to say that I helped to fund my own education. And that makes me feel good, and that brings personal gratification and satisfaction to me to know that I didn't just depend on, you know, somebody else to pay my way through school, but I was so serious about what I wanted to do and the opportunity and that I'm going to have to be a blessing to other people that I can give back for my own cause, you know, and that's kind of it. I can talk a lot, but I do think Nate for this opportunity, and if anybody has any questions, I don't mind researching anything because I don't have all of the answers, but I just really thought that this was a good topic to talk about, and I just thank Nate for the opportunity to share my own personal experience and just some information that I've gathered, and I'm turning it over to Nate.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, cousin, and let me just say this to everybody who's listening. One of the things that Adia just said, she talked about relationship. And if you've been listening to the PRS table for any significant period of time, you know that relationship is everything to us, because PRF is about how possessions, resources, and finances are actually interrelated or interconnected with each other. So as you were talking, cousin, we were all just sitting back here really paying attention to what you were saying, and I know you hit on so many spots, and we know that you're going to have to cut out a little bit early tonight, so I really wanted to let you have as much time as you needed to get us going in the right direction, because as you know, almost every show, we never have just one show talking about a particular topic. We always are talking about it for a couple of weeks because we really like to flush a lot of these things out. So from that standpoint, Kiana, let me ask you, because there's a lot of resources, and I hear that you're a researcher. So since Adia has already asked, and you've heard her heart, that she's looking for scholarships, are there any scholarships that you think could benefit her as well as anybody else that's listening that may be in her situation?
As I was sitting here listening and thinking about, I think what was really nice is that this is a great conversation to have because it taps into the different types of students that are up here, so the graduate students who are fresh out of undergrad, you have the returning students, you have the older students, and I think sometimes when this conversation happens, some of those groups start to feel left out. So I was really glad that she talked about the military resources and that she talked about the process she went through to find resources, because when I went to graduate school, I was kind of more traditional in the sense that I went straight after graduate school, I mean after undergrad, and how I financed education was I actually did an assistantship on campus, which basically paid me a stipend and covered my tuition, so all I had to pay was my books and had to pay for my fees. The great side of that is that, yes, it is a great opportunity, and that's one less thing you'd have to worry about. The challenge with assistantships can be that there is a time period at each school when the bulk of those assistantships are available. So if someone is looking and available and does not have a full-time job and a family to support, going to the financial aid office or even talking to your department can help you identify if there are any assistantships that are actually available that would allow you to have your tuition costs covered. Another thing that I've known people to do is to get jobs at universities and schools that will offer tuition assistance. I've had some schools where they do, I mean, I've heard of some jobs where they'll do the reimbursement piece, and like she mentioned, if they reimburse you, that means you have to pay up front. But if you work at an institution, you may be receiving tuition remission as a part of your benefits package, so you don't have to pay back the money. You just have to fill out the paperwork at the, you know, at the deadline that's set by your department. one of the things that I did is that I like to do research and find information. So I tried to figure out what is some information that would provide resources for a wide range of students, single parents, older students, younger students, people with families. And so I went to Google and just put in graduate school funding and put in returning students, and I found at least five places that had some information that could be very useful. So I just put that information on the Possessions Resources and Finances website. So if anyone wants to look into those resources, definitely it's online. A lot of times I always say, and like she mentioned before, start at the school that you're planning to attend, because a lot of times graduate departments want their students to have experience in the field. And one of the best ways to have experience in the field is to work with the department. Also, depending on the field that you're going into, there may be companies that your graduate school department is affiliated with or connected with that oftentimes offer part-time job opportunities or fellowships or internships with the company that could help finance some of your expenses that come along with college. So there are a lot of resources out there. Like I mentioned last week, you know, when you're looking for money to pay for school, you have to tackle that like you would tackle a paper. You got to take the time to research and look it up. And if nothing else, you can always Google information. You can always start with the Department of Education. And their website can lead you to other departments as well. You can look at the financial aid page of different schools, because they will have information about scholarships that are not specific to their institution. So there's a scholarship that they recommend to their students for women over the age of 25 that's not specific to their school. That means any woman of that age range is eligible for that. So that would be my kind of take on my response to that. I know
wow,
that's a lot
brother. Brother Pista, I'm not used to you being this quiet.
Well, they got me at a time where I have little to say. I mean, they've put out so much information and given up so much information. And again, this is not really my subject of expertise. I am really just sitting back and grasping it all. I am glad we finally, I'm finally hearing that there is some information out there and some information is being provided, because my thing that I've been saying for the past couple of weeks, and it could just be my arrogance, I'm not my arrogance, but my ignorance, not knowing it, is, you know, how do we find all these resources? How do we get access to all of this? So I'm really glad that not only are they talking, but they're also providing information. So that's why I'm quiet. They haven't said anything that struck me up yet. I'm just sitting back here just gathering information.
And you know, one of the things that I will say is, you know, as we talk, for those who are listening, we are putting out a lot of information. But if you go to the possessions.resources.finances page on Facebook, what Sister Sanders is talking about, what Sister Feaster was just talking about, it's right there for you. And I remember we were on the show, we were having the show last week, we were talking about the information being out there and we have to go get it. Sister Feaster, you said that you're a researcher. Some people are just not good at researching things. And let me tell you an experience that I had right before the show. As you know, I send out text messages with, you know, what the title of each week's show is going to be. I usually do that about Thursday. Sometimes I'll do it on Wednesday. And one of the individuals that's on my list sent me a response back, and his response was, please take me off the list. I'm not interested. And my response to this brother was, and I was being kind of funny because I know him, I said, I'm not selling anything, but I got you. And this is what I thought about. I remember when this individual was one of my students. I remember when this individual worked very, very hard to get into graduate school. I remember when this individual, when things weren't going so well, how after a certain period of time, he was really concerned about not only the money that was going into his college education, but the fact that when it didn't come on time and it threatened him being able to continue, I mean, he was in the office like every day. And that's one of the things that drives me, because when I hear that, I want people to realize just because you've made it doesn't mean that there is not a benefit that somebody else can gain from you because you've made it. Both of you have hit on something. The individual was a contractor. So his company was helping to pay for his education. At the same time, he had military. So he was a veteran, so he was using his GI Bill. You know, those are luxuries that a lot of people don't have. But even when you have those benefits and those luxuries available to you, there's things that you go through the process because you're in college with other students that don't have it as good as we had it. So I think there's a responsibility. I say that for everybody, but I know everybody may not take it like that. But I think there's a responsibility that we have to each other that, you know, the people that we live into community with, to be able to share the information that we have. So, Sister Dia, there are some resources that are on the site. You know, we know that, you know, you have some things that you're going to be doing tonight and will be departing soon. But you can go back to the website as well. And I think that's what this thing is all about. I think that's what it's all about. There's a lot of different thoughts that I put out there on the Facebook page. And let's start here, or let's backtrack a little bit. You know, I think that when we're talking about paying for graduate school, that's one part of the college education experience, is the paying for it. But I thought that it would be something good just to throw around, at least for this initial show, why even go to graduate school in the first place?
I would like to say that is a very important question to ask yourself, because graduate school, in theory, sounds like a very great idea, and there are benefits to it, but like anything, when you commit yourself to something, you're buying into a process that you're going to have to be a part of until you finish. And sometimes I think graduate school, there can be an illusion about it. So I went to graduate school sort of kind of by accident, in the sense that I got to the end of the year and I said, wow, I think I should do something with my life. And applied to graduate school for a program that I did a summer internship with, and I thoroughly loved my summer internship program. But when I got to the program, the reality of what was involved with completing that program hit me really, really hard. And there were definitely times that I really considered, was it worth it to finish? And what kept me in graduate school was the idea that the skill set that I was going to develop after I pushed through all the challenging parts of it was worth it to me. However, if I had not had previous experience to the subject matter, I think I would never have finished that program. So what my recommendation is that people need to explore the subject matter that they're thinking about committing to, because graduate school is basically like the end of a funnel. You know, when you're an undergrad, you're really taking a lot of general education classes, and towards the end of your career, you take very specific classes towards your major. Graduate school is that bottom part of the funnel where it's very specific, and you're really doing projects and activities that should prepare you for your future career, whether you want to teach, want to research, or do something else. So people really need to read through the curriculum, have a conversation with someone in the department to find out, is this something that you want to commit to? Because there are challenging times in graduate school, and your commitment has to be beyond, you know, this is an uncomfortable space. I value what I'm going to walk away with this opportunity with, so I will push through it.
Sister Sanders, I know you wanted to chime in real briefly.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, too, I totally agree and can relate to what Kiana is saying. And I think that one of the important things, you know, that you have to consider, you know, like I was saying earlier, is counting the cost. Because graduate school is definitely not like your undergrad. And I was just looking at some other things, you know, when the question was asked. And this is, like I said, this is not a DIA, but I did get this off of a website called lifehacker.com. But it was saying that, you know, some things to consider is that it could set you apart from those with only an undergraduate degree. It keeps you marketable. It connects you with other professionals in the field because, like Kiana said, you are getting more specific in the specific program that you're involved in. So you do get to meet more professionals, as whereas and your undergrad, it's a wider range, but this kind of narrows the scope for you. And also it can help you make a career change. And I'll use myself as an example again. I majored in political science because I just knew that I was going to go to law school, and I was like I was going to, you know, work in public relations and, you know, do something in whatever town that I lived in, and those plans changed. And so what I like about, I guess, the whole ideal of just, you know, having a master's degree is that you have a specific program that is going to be very challenging, but at the end of the day, you have a skill set and you have, I guess, more of an intense appreciation because you had to look through a smaller, you have a smaller scope of education. But I also wanted to add Robert Kiyosaki's book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I would say that the flip side of that is that when you get so specific in a program that while you may be marketable, you want to also have room to grow. And I say that because he gave in his book the example of his biological father who had this, he was a teacher, but he was like some kind of, yeah, excuse my French, but he was like this off-the-chart kind of teacher to where, you know, whatever he did in the education system, it was just like him up there by himself. And what happened is as time changed and, you know, other people got other skill sets and, you know, cell phones come out every 6 months and, you know, after time goes on, his skill set was no longer needed. So what happened is that he spent all of that time in this job where he was like the subject matter expert, but things become extinct. And so I would tell people, you know, that if you're going to choose a degree or a program to go into, I think that it is also important that when you ask yourself the question, why should I go to graduate school, ask yourself, you know, should I, the program that I'm going to go in, what is it going to do for me? Is it a program that's going to make me so marketable that if something else comes out that I, you know, I'm no longer going to be competitive? And I think that that will help us make that decision because not all graduate degrees give you room to grow. And I just think that that's something that, that we should consider and just take into account. Because you get this degree and you pay this money to go to school, and if you can't be effective in what you went to school for, then it's kind of like, did I make the right decision? And nobody, at a certain point, maybe wants to make that decision to go back to school again. So you don't want to find yourself settling because you're the only one at the top. So you want to give yourself room to grow. And I just think that that's important to take into consideration also.
Thank you so much. Well, we have a caller that's been waiting patiently on the line. So caller, we're coming through. Caller, we're coming to you with the last four of 2143. Welcome to the PRF table.
Hello, this is Tamika Bell. I am the sister of Brother Warren Feaster and the cousin of Kiana Feaster.
Hey there, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We are good. We are good.
I just want to piggyback on what the young lady was saying who's working on her master's in counseling. Because I completed my master's in counseling, some things kind of came to mind while you were talking. I know for my master's program that I was in and the doc program that I was in, when we did travel to, like, professional conferences, they really kind of encouraged us to get out and present. So they had funds available. It was never, like, tons of money, but it was something to help cover those travel costs that you were speaking of earlier. Another thing that we do at my current position, I work as an assistant professor in California, and we have a graduate student center. So it's a huge, like, resource center to help graduate students. And we had this research initiative where these students would do a research proposal, and they can get money to, you know, I think it was like $1,500 or $2,000 to help them out with their research and to use the money how they wanted it. It was so difficult to get students to kind of do that. Like, they kept kind of begging students because they had all this money that they wanted to give to students, but for some reason students wouldn't do it. So it kind of comes back to what had been what's been talked about so far, is just whatever's going on, why some people choose not to take advantage of these opportunities. And I want to validate everyone who's listening who has just not done it. I have been one of those people. I will openly admit it, that opportunities have come knocking at my door and I did not answer. I looked through the peephole and I ran away. I didn't do it. But now as I reflect on that, that would have saved me so much money than the severe amount of loan debt that I have right now if I would have just taken a little bit of time to just do a research proposal or to look on fastweb.com and apply for some scholarships, just taking, you know, some time out of my day to do that. So that's what I have to say.
You know what? I can speak to that as well. I remember when I first got into higher education and I worked in administration. And after being at this institution, very well-known institution, I won't call the name because of what I'm about to say. But one of the things that I found out when I started working with graduate students, or before I started working with graduate students, was there was a program that the institution had. And it was called the African American Fellowship Program. And this program was specifically for, guess who? African Americans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was for, let me tell you what this program offered. This program said they would give you, I think it was $45,000, $15,000 a year, if I'm not mistaken, for graduate school on the doctoral level. And what they wanted for this $15,000 per year was for you to come back to the university and commit to teaching for a period of 3 years. So if you took the whole $45,000, or maybe it was $45,000 a year, I can't remember, but it was a significant amount of money for graduate school. I thought that was one of the greatest things that was out there, because I looked at what the cost for some of the graduate schools, especially in my area, and I said, basically, they're paying you to go to school, to earn a doctorate degree, to come back and teach at the university, and to get paid for teaching. And let me tell you, none of the black students that I dealt with ever even first heard of the program, because the institution didn't put it out there. So here's what happened. The institution got sued because of some affirmative action things. So that was one of their responses to how they were going to be fair as far as the lack of having or hiring African-American professors to teach at this institution. But the institution put it on the website, and I just happened to find it one day. And I asked the other administrator, I said, how come we're not talking about this? Because the institution has put it on the website is really the response. So they had no real desire to really help and get the system going the way it needed to get going. But none of the students, and I had 350 students, that was the maximum amount that I had while I was there, none of the graduate students ever took advantage of that program. So I think when we talk about, there's a lot of information out there, but what you just said, my sister, if we don't take advantage, and this is not a black or white thing, that's just one of my experiences, but if we don't take advantage of what's out there, it's not going to be out there forever. And can I tell you that this African American Fellowship Program has died probably about 4 years ago. It didn't die out. What happened was they got the number of African-American professors that they needed, and so they stopped the program. Stuff like that kind of saddens me, because those are advantages, those are resources, those are things that are out there for people to take advantage of. So, you know, sometimes I think we deal with this challenge of, even when we put out the information, there's just some people that are just not going to take advantage of it. What I really don't want people to do is get bogged down on the fact of those individuals who don't want to take advantage of the resources that's out there, and focus on the ones who are really ready to take advantage of the resources that's out there, because those are the ones that's going to be more successful. Sister Sanders, are you still there with us? All right, Sister Feast, are you still with us?
Yes.
Let me throw out one more, I guess, topic of discussion and see where we can go from there. One of the things that I thought about was, to follow along with Sister Adia's topic that she put us on, was what's the difference between in-class courses and the cost with in-class courses versus the cost that are associated with online courses? Is there, and anybody can answer this, does the online courses cost a lot more?
At my school, imagine
they do. At Liberty, they do.
They do?
Yeah, I was about to say, I would imagine it depends on the institution, because if schools, some schools are kind of doing a hybrid type of thing where they're introducing online courses. So basically, at some schools, online courses can essentially cost the same as regular courses because it's just considered this course is in a different format. So I think that depends on the institution.
I can give some costs and stuff because I actually pulled that information up. I know for Liberty University Online, if you're going part-time, the rate is $505. Per hour, and full time is $465, and that's just the online one. There's also, but if you're military, you also get like a $250 discount that applies to your associate's, bachelor's, and master's level programs, and also another discount, I think, for like your technology fee. So there are still ways to offset that based on, you know, different things that you can look at as well. For so at Liberty, yeah, they're a little bit high. They're higher. But like I said, if you're military, you still get like a disc. You get some discounts as well.
And one of my questions would be: are those discounts going to be enough to do whatever it is that you need to do? One of the things that I found out working in higher education is a lot of times students would like to come to graduate school for whatever the reason, and the only thing they really look at is the amount of the tuition. So here I am sitting at my desk with students that are, you know, when I say, hey, these are the courses that you need, and then they find out how much the books cost for those courses, it's hurting them financially. And one of the things that I know about graduate school, working with graduate students, is most graduate programs are 36 credit hours. So you're really only taking 12 classes. Sometimes they're between 30 to 36 credit hours, depending on the different program that you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And those courses really don't change that much. So it's really easy to do a little bit more homework to say, you know what, instead of me just picking out something out of the air because I just like this area and I think I can do well in it, and also just taking into account that I'm just going to look at how much the tuition costs, there's ways of finding out what books are being used, especially when you're dealing with an online class or dealing with a university that really is about being more associated with online education. So I would say to those who are listening, you know, take the time in advance. Sister Dia, you mentioned counting the cost. For me, that's biblical. That's one of the things that Jesus talked about in the book of Luke. Counting the cost. Of course, he was talking about being a disciple, but he gave some practical examples, one about building a tower or building a structure, and the other one about a king going out to war. So I think we have to really encourage individuals to not just look at how much the tuition is actually going to be, but how much are the other expenses and fees that are associated with it as well.
And I will say, too, Nate, even with that, I guess because I had my master's before, I knew that was something that I would have to take into consideration. What I did not take into account was the number of books. Like I said, in one of my classes, you know, we had like 8 mini the paperback books. And, you know, I went on Amazon and bought my books, and some of them I paid like $5 for. So I found out, you know, when it comes to like, you know, paying for your books, because those books are expensive, I don't think I maybe brought like maybe 1 or 2 books brand spanking new with the saran wrap and all that stuff on it. But most of my books I've either, my god sister told me about bookrenter.com, so I've rented some of my books. And what I did in making that decision was, okay, you're going into this field. Do you have to have this book in order to be effective as a counselor? And my thing, my rationale is that, okay, I know I need this book for this class, but what's the likelihood that I'm going to have to refer back to this book at any other point, unless I'm using it as a reference for the, you know, the rest of the class time that, you know, that I'm in school. So my mindset is that if I can rent it and pay like $40 just to get the book and keep the book for 9 weeks or 10 weeks, then I'll do that. Save me some money at this point in time. And if I have to have the book, then I can purchase the book and probably can get it used at a much lower cost. So there are still ways, you know, even if, like you said, you got the grad, you know, your courses and stuff paid for, but you got to take into account your, you know, buying your books. I've rented mine. And I think the awesome thing that with that is that when I file my taxes, you know, if I bought a laptop or, you know, my books and stuff, I'm able to use that for when I get ready to file my taxes as well, to offset what I had to pay out of pocket with the tax credit. So I just think, you know, sometimes we may not have the information, but I definitely, you know, have learned and gotten kind of hip and learned little shortcuts that has helped me offset the cost of my books and stuff, because, like I said, I do have a family, and, you know, I can't, you know, pay $500 for books for 9 weeks that I might not ever use again. I'm just want to keep it real with everybody.
I got you.
And that kind of ties into what I was mentioning last week about planning. You know, graduate mm-hmm. school is not something you get up one day and you just decide to do. Like, you, this is an investment. This is an investment mm-hmm. of your time. It's an investment of your resources. And this, it takes its toll on your family. It takes its toll on a lot of the things that are going on in your life. And so in looking at the tuition costs and looking at the what are the skill sets that this is going to teach me, you have to take into account the fees, the books, and et cetera, which is why even sometimes when people have assistantships, they sometimes have other part-time jobs, working in the library, working on weekends, doing something to offset those costs. And I'll tell you right now, I went to graduate school and I was gung-ho. I was going to save the world from statistics. I got into my program and realized that this is not the field that I'm going to spend the rest of my life in, and I have not worked in the field that I obtained my graduate degree in. Mm. However, those skill sets and those experiences and things I learned in that program have been very beneficial to me in all of my future employment. I went to school for survey methodology, but I've worked in most of my professional career has been in higher education. The other piece to that in terms of the book thing is that if you're looking into a graduate program, a good thing to do is have a conversation with the student who's in the program, because they can give you a lot of insight into what are some of the pros and cons of a particular program and what are some of the internal, not on the website, resources that they use to, number one, support each other, but to also offset costs. Because in my program, there were binders of information that were passed around about previous projects, assignments, information that were so helpful to us, especially the newbies when we got in, that it made a huge difference in our ability to be successful in our program. There were opportunities where we shared books. You know, if there was a second-year student and we were first-year, sometimes they would either let us borrow their books or they would tell us where we could go to get the books and give us insight. Well, yeah, this book is recommended, but we really don't use this. All you really need to know is this subject matter, which you can essentially Google and find that information in PowerPoint format from some other institution who's also teaching the same subject matter. So in addition to looking at the cost, it's a good idea to have a conversation with the people in the program to really get a feel for what is the culture of graduate school, because that's important. Most graduate school programs, you're going to school at night. And so you're spending your evenings with these people. And it's nice to know what type of support and resources the department has to support their students. Like Tanika mentioned, opportunities to present at conferences. There are other things that the department may have that may not be advertised on a website when a student is looking to see if that's a good fit for them.
Right. Well, you are listening to the PRF table. The table is full tonight. We have Sister Kiana Feaster, hope I pronounced that correctly, Sister Adia Sanders, Brother Warren Feaster, who is very much quiet. If you've ever been with us before, you know this is a rarity, so we may not ever get this opportunity to hear Brother Feaster being stunned by the information that's being shared tonight, and also Sister Tamika Bell. We are doing it. This is some good conversation. As I always say, I am really doubtful that we're going to get through all of this tonight, and I'm grateful that we don't have to. So when we come back next week, we'll definitely be plugging away more at it. We want people to definitely go to the possessions.resources.finances Facebook page, like the page for one, but also just look at the comments. And one of the things I need to tell everybody is if you're using your telephone, your iPhone, or one of those type of devices, you're not on your actual computer, when you go to the page, it may not let you get behind the scenes from all the replies that individuals are making. So take an opportunity to look at it on your computer or on your laptop so that you can see the discussion questions and answers that are going on behind the scenes that are posted. I'm going to throw out a couple more questions, and I know we're not going to get them, so let's just wet everybody's whistle with a couple of responses, if we will. You know, one of the things that I thought about was, as we're thinking about, or as individuals are thinking about, how to pay for graduate school, how much is it worth actually taking into account, one, your current student loan debt, and two, just the other debts that you actually have?
I think you have to take into account everything. I mean, this is a commitment to a lifestyle. I mean, graduate school is so different from undergrad. The expectations are higher. The level of commitment is higher. Like Adia mentioned, she has 8 books for one class. But if you're going full-time, you can be taking 2 to 3 classes each semester. And it's not to say that each class is going to take 8 books, but, you know, at any given time, you can have papers, projects, and everything on with a higher level of expectation placed on them, which means that if you're in school full-time, you may not be able to work full-time. You know, can you afford to not work full-time? Can you afford to go to school part-time, which also the thing to take into consideration is that when you go to school full-time, you pay, at most schools, a flat fee. When you go to school part-time, and I think part-time for graduate school, I think, is 3 or 6 credits, you're paying by the credit, which means that you could possibly be paying more money. So you have to figure out, is it more cost-effective for me to, say, work full-time so that I can take care of my family, knowing that I'm going to have to pay more for graduate school because I'm going to be paying by credit, or should I just buckle down and just, you know, take in the cost right now and just deal with it accordingly. The other thing that people have done is that they have gone to work for a year or two, save money intentionally because they want to go to graduate school and they want to be able to go full-time and to be able to finish, you know, within that 2 or 3 year time period, and they have the money that they save as a buffer. Then there's also the idea of, if you're going to go to graduate school, depending on where you're going, how do you want to deal with your housing costs? I stayed at home when I went to graduate school so that I didn't have to then also worry about the cost of renting an apartment and all of those other associated costs. So it's really a lot to think about, but it goes back to planning, like I mentioned last week. You got to sit down and crunch the numbers, and once you crunch the numbers, you have to think about the other people and other obligations in your life and say, how is this going to work?
I want to add, too, to what Kiana said, that also just online, you know, if you're going to do a graduate program, are you going to do online versus residency? You know, a lot of people, you know, you hear or read about, you know, some places will not accept, you know, if you went to school online, they may not accept your degree. So that's something that you want to consider. Maybe as time goes on, that might be different, but you got to take that into consideration as well. And also online versus residency. I do all of my work online, and I will tell you, when you can't reach out and just ask that professor, you know, at the end of class, or, you know, talk to students and kind of bounce your ideas off of their head and just kind of see where they're at, it makes a difference. So sometimes you feel like you're alone, whereas if you do decide to, you know, go resident, you have more access to your professors and you're not having to wait, because sometimes they have jobs as well and they're doing this part-time or they're doing this in the evening or what have you. So I think that you have to take that into consideration for your planning. The other thing that I wanted to add was for myself going online, I am a part-time student because I work and I have children and I'm involved in my church and my community. So right now I take, like, my school has, like, different subterms. And so how I've done my planning, which it literally took me, I didn't get this revelation until, like, 2 years ago, that I can take 5 classes a year. Now, granted, you know, for my degree, I have to have, I think, like 60 credit hours, but I can take 5 classes a year. And what that does is that whereas initially I thought that it was going to take me this amount of time to be finished, I'm actually going to be finished sooner than what I anticipated because of how I was able to sit on the phone and talk to an academic advisor and just ask them those questions. Hey, here's my plan. I don't want to be in school. I know I have until this amount of time to, you know, before my degree has to be complete, but I don't know how to get there. Can you explain this to me so that I can plan better? And what they explained was that, okay, we got 5 subterms. You can do this subterm in the spring. You can do 2 subterms in the spring, 1 in the summer, and 2 in the fall. That gives me my 5 classes. So I can plan financially on what it's going to cost to fund my education, and I can incorporate that in my budget. So I think, you know, the combination of what Kiana said about where, if you're going to live in an apartment, you know, that's maybe with the school or closer to the school if you move, or are you going to, you know, stay in your own house, or are you going to do online because the fees may be a little bit more? Are you going to do resident? You know, are you going to rent your books? Are you going to buy the books through the school, which can cost you a little bit more money? I just think that all of those are very important factors to consider, especially, you know, if you do have a family or, like, you know, like you said, Nate, if you already
right.
have student loans. And I just wanted to, before I get out of here, I just wanted to read this to everybody just to show you the reality. Here is my financial aid award notification. Now, I told you I did FAFSA. Dear Adia, we have reviewed your information and have awarded the following financial aid to you. Please remember these awards are estimates and are subject to change. Award the Federal Unsubsidized Stafford Loan, all caps, bold, underline, for the fall, $6,833, spring, $6,833, summer, $6,834, for a total of $20,500. That's just for one school year, for 2013 and 2014. $20,000. That's
so,
a lot
so what
of
you're
money.
Saying, what you're saying is, you know, you're talking about if that's the same, if you're going to get the same amount for 2 years, you're talking about $50,000
mm-hmm.
in student loans. And I
mm-hmm.
think it's important for people to hear that, that type of reality, because as my cousin would say, can you afford to borrow that amount of money and be able to pay it back once you're actually finished with this actual degree? What about if you don't finish? What about if God takes you in another direction? Or what about you decide that you don't want to continue in that field? What about if you need a break? What about? All of that falls in line with counting the cost. But we have one caller on the line as we get ready to wind it down for this tonight's show. Calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I believe. Last four of 1259. Welcome to the PRF table.
Welcome. Hello, everybody.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. And since you happen to quote me, I figured it'd be a good time to call in. I've been listening off and on. My phone has been dying off and on for me, so I haven't been able to hear everything. But I did want to chime in real quick because it seems like everyone talked about pretty much all the different aspects that I could have come up and said dealing with higher ed every day. But the one thing I'm not sure if I heard or maybe someone mentioned is there are a lot of fellowships out there. And I'm not sure that was talked about or not, but I want to make sure I throw that out there. A lot of the institutions offer fellowships, like the Fulbright Fellowship. There's the Alliance for Minority Participation. There's a bunch of different programs that will cover, if not half, 75, and even all of the costs for grad school. So that is one thing I think everyone might want to make sure that when you're looking out there for grad schools, you know, you of course, you want to pick the on-campus versus online versus, you know, how much you're going to spend. But I say before you do anything, if you're coming in with a pretty good undergrad background, you know, reach out to the different institutions and ask them about fellowships. Ask them do they have different kinds of fellowships. And those fellowships will either pay for you in-state. If you want to go abroad, they'll pay for abroad. They'll pay for various different aspects of the college, your grad school experience. And one other thing, especially if you're a minority, and you're going into the STEM fields, and the STEMs are science, technology, engineering, or mathematics. If you're going to any of those STEM fields, there's a lot of money out there for individuals trying to get grad programs in the STEM fields. So, as I say on all the shows, I'm available. If you want to ask questions, you want me to try to direct you in those different ways, you know, and you're looking for those money, I'm always available. You can, JR will always can connect me, you, anybody to me. But keep that in mind as well. Look for the free money before you spend your money.
Amen to that. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. Go ahead. Who is that right there speaking right now?
Kiana.
Okay, go ahead, Kiana.
This came up last week, and it kind of came up today, and I don't know if we ever touched on it about the idea of the online and the for-profit schools. One of the things, two things that I can say about that. One is that people have to be careful about some of the newer programs, the newer institutions that are guaranteeing education in short periods of time, not so much because, you know, whether or not it is a legitimate or what have you, but more so because a lot of times people are taking these programs and then if for some reason they decide they don't want to finish, they attempt to transfer. And a lot of times traditional schools don't accept credits from some of those institutions. And I've had to work with students who went to a school that they saw on television or saw advertised somewhere, paid the money, took out the loan, took these classes, and because they're not regionally accredited, there was nothing we could do about those credits. The second thing is, if someone is looking to attend one of those programs, they might want to look at some job descriptions from, say, a company that they would consider working at after graduation to see if they will actually accept a degree from that institution, because I've noticed that a lot of job positions will actually say they want students who graduate from a regionally accredited institution, and sometimes those schools don't count. So you want to make sure that the degree you're going to get from a school that's, say, non-traditional is going to help you get the job that you're investing your time and energy in getting.
Very good point. Very good point. Well, Sister Bell, are you still with us? Did you have any closing comments that you wanted to bring before us?
I'm still here. I just kind of, everyone has kind of summed up very perfectly. My graduate experience when I was in my master's, I received an assistantship where I actually had a job where I was working in residence life. So it provided me an apartment, so I was living on campus. Granted, you really have to have tough skin to live with freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors for an extended period of time, but that's where I found my passion for working in a student affairs arena, so I got something out of the experience. But like has been said over and over again, planning and really thinking about it and talking with advisors, talking with the graduate admissions, the program, and just getting all that information, because it is a huge time commitment, and I will attest my master's, especially my PhD program, it was very intense, and the only thing that kept me going was I know I wanted to do this. And I do have a lot of loan debt for it, but I knew that this was something I wanted to do, and when I interact with my students all the time, I know I'm making a difference. So you really kind of have to have that dedication and that passion along with planning as well.
Thank you so much. And let me just say, I thank both of you for really just taking out your time and sharing so much of what you have inside of you and your experiences, because that's what PRF is really, really all about. The more that we can help each other, I think the better off the world will be. So we want everybody to come back and let's continue into the conversation next week, next Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go to the PRF page on Facebook, possessions.resources.finances. Join into the conversation. Put out your questions. If you want to get in touch with Saeed, Brother Saeed, let us know. Facebook us. You can text us. My email address is jr.dunlap8@gmail.com. And let me leave this as a final parting thought for tonight. In Luke chapter 14, it talks about the cost of being a disciple. And Jesus said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? If you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees you will ridicule you, saying, the person began to build a tower and wasn't able to finish. So part of the purpose of why we're talking about this conversation, having this conversation, talking about graduate school, talking about student loan debt, is we want everybody to be able to finish whatever they started. But we want you to be able to have the resources that you need, and want you to be able to have the ability to go to our Facebook page or go to whatever other resources are out there to be able to help you make those well-informed decisions. So let me leave with this final thought. There is a cost to going to graduate school. If you cannot tell yourself and tell others what the costs are before you start, continue counting. So on that note, God bless you, every single one of you. We reach you. Hope to reach you back next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, have a good one. God bless.